Wow. And you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you, Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall.
Hey, Felicia, what's happening?
Well, I think we're going to have a good show today, and it is for Kauai Soapbox, a show of many topics. There are so many things going on, from the nation to the island, from the feds to the county, the state, and the nation of Hawaii around the islands. I think we will have a few real key call-ins, maybe one possibly from a county councilwoman on the island of Hawaii regarding the reaction of the people there at a dairy meeting that they're having, because they have a dairy issue over there. And also, we might have a caller on the pesticide, because there's going to be a pesticide and honey piece before the county tomorrow.
Right, they did a study, yeah?
They did a study. So we're going to talk about a whole lot of things. And the call-in number is 826-7771. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store, Betty Jean Nativio, and Haole Girl.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Betty Jean Nativio, artist for hire, teaching both art and cooking, including the School of Chocolate Art for all ages and abilities. Multi-art mediums, including reverse glass painting, available for events, signage, custom gifts, and more. More information at betty.com or 808-652-3781.
Haole Girl Island Suites presents The Tea Room in the gallery located in Kinipopo Shopping Center in Kapa'a, offering full-service high tea and desserts. More information at 808-822-2253.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Felicia. So much is going on.
Yeah, you're good.
My head is spinning. I just try to keep a basic sort of sense of the general trends is hard enough, but things are just coming fast and furious. What do you have your eyes on?
Well, one thing I'd like to announce really early, because it starts at 5 o'clock today, from 5 to 7 at the Waimea Neighborhood Center. There is a rodenticide meeting. Anything that says side means
poison
or kill. So killing rodents. From 5 to 7 at Waimea Neighborhood Center for Lehua Island. Mm-hmm. So they have a rat problem over there. Right. It's kind of a complicated problem, because it's how do you get rid of the rats, and the rats will eat the baby birds, the bird eggs. So
are you feeling like they should not be poisoned?
Well, I will be honest and say I don't have enough information to really say the right thing. You know, anytime I hear something that says poison, it makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
But my guess is the people that are looking at it know more about it than I do. If there is an Akamai caller, they could call in at 826-7771. And Yaa's in here.
Sure. We talked about this on the last show.
Okay.
They're gonna apply it by helicopter. That's the most disturbing thing about the whole thing. Is they're just going to fly over the island and spread it out by a helicopter, which seems insane. And it's, what about the, if it happens to work, but what are you going to do with all these dead poison rats.
I know. What if the birds eat it? Because one of my dogs, I don't know how, got rat poison because I don't have it on my property, but she bled out. It was a really rough death.
It's a terrible death, yeah. Yeah. And they did it before in 2009. And a couple days after that, that's when all those fish washed up, dead fish washed up on Niihau, and three dead whales. Now, I'm not saying that's was the reason, but it's an interesting correlation for sure. And it failed. I mean, here they poisoned this whole island, and it obviously didn't work because they're going to do it again.
Right. But do you have any idea what would work?
Maybe.
To be fair, in that article that I read, it did say that they acknowledged that it didn't work last time for one reason, that they did only do it from the air, mm-hmm. and that the poison didn't get into the more sheltered areas and the deeper places in the jungle, I guess. But they are going to put send people on foot
to
both bait and set traps. And it also said that if this poison reaches the water, it actually breaks down into a harmless form. So I'm wondering if that could be the case once a rat eats it as well.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing things like that myself because, you know, you can't really create something and then have it just totally be benign.
Right. It's a tough one, and well, I know that you don't know a lot about this, but when we were talking about the pesticide issue relative to the bees and honey, I know you're a honey man.
Yes. Well, no, I'm a bee guy.
You're a bee guy. You rob beehives.
Yes, that's the official term for harvesting honey.
Robbing.
So they had a choice when they were labeling, you know, hey, we're harvesting honey. We should come up with a name and term for this. They didn't do harvest. They didn't do gather. It's robbing. So I thought that's very appropriate.
Yeah, okay, so that's an interesting piece, and tomorrow at the county council meeting, I have to double check, I'm being told 2:30, that doesn't sound like a normal time for this particular council to start something. They seem to be done a little bit earlier. Do you know what time tomorrow?
Oh, I do not.
So I'm going to try and see if I can't discern that for sure while we're on the air today, but it is before the county council, and Scott Enright from the State Department of Agriculture will be there talking about it with the county council, and that is the pesticides making it into the honey. Has your honey ever been tested?
It was tested the last time around, and it was free. It was one of the few places on the island that didn't have any trace of pesticides.
Can I ask where your hives are?
Wailua.
Upper Wailua.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was stoked.
Yeah. So, do you don't know much on this? Like I asked X-Man, if coincidentally at KKCR we have a lot of honey people.
Yeah. Why is that?
Robbers, honey robbers.
Well, there's a whole bee program that people can go and take classes on.
At KCC.
Yeah.
McCoy Community College.
Correct.
And Jimmy is one of the teachers.
Correct.
From Out of the Box.
Correct.
So, I was talking to some of the other programmers, hoping to get a little bit more solid information from you guys. And so what I was told is, for whatever reason, that bee community, at least that's part of this station, wasn't included in this.
Oh, we didn't choose to be included. Anyway,
okay.
Jimmy is very well connected to it.
You
know,
okay.
The only thing I really know is that the state has been really dragging their feet, and the county actually had to be brought in to try to create influence so they would release the information from the pollen pesticide tests.
Have you read the report yet?
No, I have not.
Okay.
That's why I was like, I'm not your guy.
Okay, because I read the press release, but it didn't. The press release said we're going to talk about it tomorrow. It didn't give the report. So hopefully Jimmy or somebody like that will call in. I've asked them to tell us what it is, but so I'm definitely gonna go to the council meeting tomorrow and listen and learn. That's my favorite way, is to go right to the source and
your job.
My job.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for doing that.
So you were down there this morning.
Yeah, I was down there at the planning commission meeting. And thanks, y'all. I was at the planning commission meeting, and it was another day talking about the general plan update, and the county planning department has really worked hard on this. I want to applaud everybody who is being a part of it. It's not an easy document to do. It's hard to construct the future.
Right. And they really have reached out to the community over time.
Yeah, they have. It's not always that easy to get people to, you know, broad enough group to come in. Many people, the same people come in. I'm one of them. I'll own that. But they have reached out, and I would say they have, I'm guessing, but their numbers are all on the report there, and probably at least 1,000, maybe 2 people have contributed. I will double check. It might be more than that. They've been to the schools. They go to the fair. They go out to the community, neighborhood associations, and I've gone in. My big issue is farm worker housing, really, this time. I have a number of issues, but that's the one that I'm looking at the hardest, because I have a high focus on wanting to see our farms and our food thrive. And that's not trying to stop anybody else from thriving, just wanting, you know, diversified agriculture, which means all different kinds of food growing in the same area. And as the listeners heard in my little yard and scene, there's just a phenomenal amount of food, and I would say that's about 1/9 of an acre under cultivation, and I know it would feed well more than my household, kind of a simple diet. Definitely Southeast Asian, Polynesian food, mostly eggs, maybe some fish. But
cassava.
All 5 starches. I got 5 starches there, but there's plenty. But what I know is, when we see things like it says it takes 1.3 acres to feed somebody, they're doing an average from somewhere. But, you know, and if they throw cattle in and all of that, which takes some grazing room, but you can feed quite a bit of people in a small area. And, hey, I think X-Man just walked in. X-Man?
Yes, I did.
Okay. You look like you're walking in like you heard me asking for help out there on the
Well,
stuff.
Yeah, I had to check my emails.
Okay, thank you. So what's the story on
So tomorrow morning at 8:30, I thought it was 2:30, but it's
yeah, 8:30 sounds more
AM
right.
At the council meeting, the HDOA chair, Scott Enright.
Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
Agriculture, yeah. We're going to get the results of the 2015 honeybee pollen survey.
So you haven't seen it?
No,
you haven't
I
seen
have
the
not.
Results? Okay.
No, I have not. He's going to present it to Mayor Bernard Carvalho tomorrow at 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock, depending on his flight in. And they're going to talk about what started out in, like, 2014. I think it was Danielle Downey, who was already, she was in charge of the bee works going on for the state. And they came out and took pollen samples of various hives around the island. And
there was a high school girl involved, right? There was.
Yes, she was. She was. But she was with the honey. We went around and did honey samples for
her.
And she went to the science fair, right? I just can't remember her
name.
But
so this
right
is
now.
Something different.
This was something different. This was at the same time. So the Kauai beekeepers went along with the honey, and then the state wanted to do test the pollen. So then they went into the hives and took the pollen out of the frames and sent them off to be tested for pesticides. The one thing, the reason that we really didn't get involved with it was because they did not want to test for glyphosate, and we wanted to. That was with Dr. Berg.
Carl Berg.
Carl Berg.
Why don't
yes.
they want to test for glyphosate? It's too common of a chemical, so it threatens too many people?
They said their lab was not set up to test for that.
Okay.
And so then we ended up just doing the honey. We thought the honey was more viable because that's what's being sold. We don't
And that's what's being eaten, right?
Right.
If it doesn't make it through the body of the bee in a problematic way, then maybe it's, you know, we could be more selfish about it.
Right. So anyway, that's all going to happen tomorrow when Scott comes in to, because I'm not even sure where, I know they went as to all the different sides of the island, but I'm not really sure what beekeepers were involved because we just didn't have anything to do with it.
And is it only on Kauai or is it in many islands?
No, it was just Kauai. It was just for Kauai.
At the request of the county council.
Right, Jay Ferraro.
Ferraro.
Ferraro, yeah. Uh-huh. Which I saw the other day. He's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I saw him all day today. He's got a really good job. He's the head of boards and commissions.
Oh.
So he's got a lot of responsibility. He probably gets paid twice as much, so less pressure and more.
That
more
works.
Sphere, yeah.
That works. And then there'll be a follow-up meeting with the Kauai Beekeepers Association at the KCC B-Lab at 6 p.m. Jimmy Trujillo will be heading that up. So tomorrow there'll be two. If you missed the first one at 8:30 for the county council, there'll be one at the college at 6 p.m. to also get the results.
Right. And so big difference, though. Let me tell you the big difference.
Okay.
Because I'm a little Miss Politics here. When you go in and you hear it in front of the council and you testify in front of the council is going to hear you.
Right.
When you go to the thing at KCC, you're going to be in your camaraderie with your other bee people, so you're going to get probably a really different lesson there. You're going to hear what people do to avoid the problem or, you know, something like that.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be more relaxed, not so much a trial and jury type thing maybe on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it'll be more relaxed on Wednesday night, but if people have a strong opinion on it, I'd say show up at 8:30.
Yes, to go in the morning for sure.
Do you know, was the study done with some sort of anonymity for the beekeepers, or will there be a record of say, you know, a beekeeper X who sells their honey has high levels of pesticides? Will that actually be
right? This is bee pollen, though. So
oh, it's
I'm
pollen.
Not that's what the state wanted
to
do.
Yeah, they wanted to.
So the best thing to do, if you're really interested, it'll be 8:30 tomorrow morning with Scott Enright, and that's really all I have because we weren't involved. We went with the other study with the honey and the glyphosate and. And that we talked about it, a few months after we had done the study.
Can I get a container of honey while you're here today? You gave
it's
it.
Right
okay,
there.
Right there.
That's
okay,
right
it's
there.
Really good.
So anyway, so that's all I have. I don't have any other information, and it'd be best to wait for Mr. Enright to enlighten us with that.
Can I give him a positive plug for a moment? Scott Enright's gotten a lot of heat. You know, being the Department of Ag head is a difficult thing to do here because there's a lot of controversy in agriculture. And I see him really working hard to try and understand both sides of, you know, all the diversity in our agriculture and to do as best a job as he can. So...
I'm sure I don't know him. He kind of ended up with the ball because Danielle moved on, and she pretty much spearheaded study, the state study. So,
I would make a point to go to the county council meeting, regardless if he was there, because when you go, I'm just giving a few plugs on how to be political, and X-Man, I'm giving you a plug on how to be political. Is all these people are humans, and if you go and you talk to them, they typically listen. And so the more there's face-to-face, the more warm and the more open and the better it becomes. So I thank you for all that you do with that. And
you're welcome. Yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow with that. And it'll be interesting because what would be the plan after we actually have the results and what to do about it.
Right.
You know? Because, you know, for a lot of times, the GMO folks were, you know, spray. They spray a lot. They spray more. But I think in the long term, it's more the casual or just the guy with his house that goes around with the Roundup and sprays that may or may not be really what is a bigger part of it being it's everybody sprays and they have houses all, and land all over the island versus, well, so does the GMO companies.
Right. Well, I know that I had asked Chester, who, you know, he does outreach bee hives, but he wasn't interested in putting a hive at my place. I had thought about it when I had my school going on there. He said there's too many environments, and I'm right on a county park, and he can't control what would end up in the pollen. Like, he likes to place his hives in places where there's, like, an organic grove of oranges or something. So he knows what's going in there, and so that would be correct. If you just had your own little small hive, you don't know what your neighbors are using.
No, because there's a five-mile radius that they'll go out to. And usually, in the beginning, they go a lot closer. Like when the springtime's coming up, they won't go as far from the hive. But as the season wanes on and more stuff is collected, then they start going further and further out. And then there's really no way to, unless you put little trackers on them.
Right.
You know, and that would be a whole nother story.
So, again, and, tomorrow, 8:30 at the county council room in the old historic building in Lihue on Rice Street. Might trail a little bit later than that, but in the morning, Scott Enright talking about this pollen study for pesticides in it, and then at 5:30 at Kauai Community College.
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
At Kauai Beekeepers Association, the
in the back high-tech building?
Yeah, the bee, either there or in the bee lab. They're both in the same spot, way in the back.
Okay.
So there you go. That's your update.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. So, Marshall, just because we were talking a little, I'm giving a little bit of political instructions to people. Like, for example, I want to tell people a handful of things about how to figure this stuff out.
Good. Lay it out.
Well, I'm just going to say, I have a website. It's called FeliciaCowden.com, and there is a resources page, and I wonder if you could place that right now on the KKCR page. Go to the resources page and put a link up there, because on that page there are a number, it's like a concentration of political resources, whether that's looking at the core documents like the charter and the constitutions, or how to contact your representatives and the phone numbers of everybody, or how to, you know, capital.hawaii.gov, that's where you can do stuff for our state level. It's a great website. And like, for example, before this show, and so I've got my homework tonight, we are just about at the time when bills start moving from the Senate over to the House, or from the House over to the Senate. And it's a crossover point, so things start really speeding up. And so two bills that have really gotten my attention today are regarding people without housing. They don't say that. It's called criminal trespass is what these bills are called. There's House Bill 1142 that is saying criminal trespass in the Department of Transportation areas. I get it that it's a bummer that people are camped out all over the sidewalks or underneath the highway. I get it that it's a problem. But certainly my testimony was saying, you know, well, I won't read my whole testimony here, but I put pretty strong testimony against that because, you know, when you criminalize being on public lands, public really basically means people, and houselessness is a chronic problem. And so we're not effectively solving it when we create more zones to incrementally eliminate places for people to be able to sit, stand, or lie down. So I see it as kind of a heartless and cruel attack of the vulnerable. And really, the jugular of the problem is that land and housing is available kind of almost to the highest bidder. Mm. And you know, just bringing it over a little bit to being at the general plan update meeting today, though, anything they build is expensive. And we have these building standards, these building codes. You know, I mean, you can't make a house for anything that's, you know, people used to be, meaning like in my lifetime, I mean, not that long ago, people just built their house and they could live there. It didn't have to be perfect. Now it's got all these codes and requirements. And so what we've done by having really strong building codes is we have a lot of people without housing.
Yeah. Well, you would want some building codes.
Well, right? You want some building codes and you want to have something that's safe. But the thing is that, like, what we have is people living under the highway, you know, or what, and so there's another bill. It's called Senate Bill 895, and that's similar, and that's criminal trespass for being on state agriculture lands. What they're doing is criminal trespass on public lands, and public by nature means it belongs to the people. So when we say, you know, kind of belongs to the people unless we put a sign up that says, you know, you have to be gone by 5 p.m. or we're going to close the gate and you can't be here. And if you are, you're going to get arrested. So let me come back to that theme. But in what if people go to capital.hawaii.gov, when you are there, like what I have, for example, I put in there, you can just look at the date. So I looked at everything that's coming up tomorrow. So I put tomorrow's date when it says on a date. And there's a big list. I'm just glancing and estimating. Probably 50 bills will be coming up tomorrow. But I really recommend that people pay attention, that they go and they look. And you can just be really simple. You go in and you look at what that bill's about. Like, I'm just grabbing one. It says, relating to agricultural loan revolving fund. So somebody could go in there and look at that bill and read it and see if they liked it or not, and then go oppose. There's another one saying, relating to Hawaiian traditional and customary practices. There's invasive species ones. There's farm to school month in Hawaii. I mean, I'm just grabbing a few of them. There's a nursing one. There's all kinds of pieces. But if you look and you just see if you care about something there, if you oppose or you support, you don't even have to write something. Just turn it in like yeah or no. It makes a difference.
Although it's stronger if you write even a sentence.
It's stronger if you write, you know, like I typically just try and put a paragraph in there. Mm-hmm. And not a long paragraph, because I know they're not going to read 500, or let's say 100 people submit something. They can't spend 2 pages doing it. Mm-hmm. If you have a testimony that's so strong that you need to write 3 pages on it, I say go over there and talk to them. Go over and lobby or find your own representative here. Ours are Tokioka for the Lihue District 15, that central district, D. Morikawa for the west side and into the south, and then Nadine Nakamura for Wailua house lots, no, homesteads north, you know, to the end of the road. And you talk to your people. We are so lucky here that our senator happens to be the president of the Senate, too. So we have a lot of power with that. We have a, you know, like a pitch hitter in there for us. So it's really important to be able to look at those things. And
so, you know what, Felicia, I was remembering that back in August there was a case in Idaho. So I quickly took a look, and it was that they were trying to criminalize sleeping or camping in public places. And the Justice Department under Obama filed a statement of interest arguing that making it a crime for people who are homeless to sleep in public places when there's insufficient shelter space in the city unconstitutionally punishes them for being homeless. So same thing. I mean,
except that it's in the wording. So this doesn't say it's illegal to sleep, sit, or stand
right,
the way things were framed before that decision.
Right.
So it's a game of chess.
Right.
So now it simply says it's criminal trespass if anybody is in that area after a certain time. So it's not saying you can't sleep or sit or stand there. It says you can't be there.
Oh, so they're just putting areas off limits to people, period.
Yes.
Huh.
And so I think most people who have a life where they can go home somewhere, probably wouldn't choose to go sleep under a bridge.
Right.
So when they say it's just off limits to anybody, still it doesn't mention houselessness or homelessness or any of that in these bills, but that's the effect. So it's a game of wordsmithing. And I'm not denying that there's a problem when you got all kinds of people sleeping under the freeway.
Could be safety issues for them.
Could be safety issues for them. I'm sure that's not somebody's first choice.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of this is really the impact and the outcome of, you know, 7 billion people on the planet. As we have more and more people on the planet and we are in, you know, an undeniably amazing place.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think 7 billion people could get along if we all moderated our needs. It really seems more like wealth inequality and inequitable distribution of resources that is much of the problem.
Well, I'm going to say I 100% agree with you on that. But if there was less people on the planet, it would probably be less evident. I think that's fair to say.
Sure.
So you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall and with Kauai Soapbox. And our number, if you would like to call in, is 808-826-7771. And it is Prince Kuhio Day next week, and you know, we have some kind of good things coming up on that. I'm trying to look here for, we got a little statement on that, and I'm struggling to find it. I'll find it in a minute, and we'll play it.
So Princeville was named after Prince Kuhio, is that correct?
Yes. No. No, it was named after Prince Albert, who passed away when he was 4.
Oh, that's Prince Albert Park.
Well, and Prince, maybe we have a Akamai listener who knows on that one, or it might be something else, but certainly Kuhio Highway is named after Prince Kuhio. And we have a caller. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. Marshall.
Hi.
Hi. You know, I was listening to your discussion regarding the homeless situation. The thing that really disturbs me is, you know, I thought that, you know, this was the land of aloha, and I thought the state motto was the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness, and I think the Hawaiians way back when were influenced by the missionaries, and I think the term righteousness from the Old Testament refers to right relationship to God and your fellow folk.
Well, it also comes from the word pono, which
predated...
that whole missionary time, so I think it is
exactly.
It's a translation, and it's kind of a rough translation, but certainly they had a deep sense of pono prior to contact. But anyway, yes, so we have two things, both the Christian perspective and the traditional perspective that has pono in the thought process.
Well, the thing that really disturbs me is, you know, I believe Hawaii has more millionaires than any other state. And then secondly, I like watching the local news from the other islands, and I see that last year on Oahu, home prices went up by one-third. Rents went up by one-third. So when you see all these stories about folks sleeping under the bridges by the freeways, as you said, that would not be probably the average individual's first choice. I just don't understand why we can't, in whatever form of government auspices, why we can't just set aside an area where there can be like, you know, outhouses and, you know, tents, something as simple as possible for people to live, you know, a decent life, to someplace to sleep and keep their stuff and, you know, just a base.
There has had that discussion in front of the county council. I know that there has been discussions about that on Oahu, and maybe that was a rhetorical question, but those questions do get asked, and so a big piece of the concern is that if there was a big camping area where it is sanctioned for that, that people who are cold in Minneapolis or hot in Texas or wherever it is, that if there was an area for welcoming people that don't have housing, that we might end up with mostly people who move here to take advantage of that. I mean, I consistently hear that as a reaction to those.
Well, what kind of housing and what kind of safeguards would prevent that from happening?
Well, that is a consideration. It's just that I just find it, really disconcerting, very troubling that we have so little feeling for, our fellow human beings. And considering the new leadership in Washington, I guess that's the zeitgeist, that's the spirit of the times. I mean, just help out the billionaires, and anybody who has less than that, just forget about it. But
it's a big challenge.
I just
And Marshall asked a question. What was your question, Marshall? You said, how do you solve it?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're afraid of setting up big camps because you think people might come here from the mainland to chill out there, what about affordable housing? We have the same problem, right? People will come from elsewhere.
It is the problem. And so, like with our council, they have made their number one priority to find housing. And so it is a very big deal, and that's why where there's this infill of allowing what they call affordable rental units, and they're asking right now, it isn't quite gone there. It gets really fought, but it's creating this infill of people have room in the back that they could create a rental unit in the back. A lot of times people have one that is considered illegal right now. That's one way, because the different homeowner is paying for it and the county isn't paying for it. But when the county is looking at doing some of this stuff in Hanama'ulu, they're trying to borrow $6 million. This is a county, so we all have to pay for it to be able to offset the cost of the home. But even with that and with the developer doing all really good things, it's almost $500,000 for half of a duplex. So even if you can get the price down to $450,000, let's say, that's a lot of money. If somebody finances $400,000 of it and they can somehow cough up $50,000, you still have over $3,000 a month, typically in mortgage payment, taxes and insurance. So it's really difficult to even create affordable.
Speak from my own personal experience. Mm-hmm. I've lived here 31 years, and at different times, I had a full-time job cooking at restaurants, fancy restaurants, and I'd surf during the day, and then I'd sleep mostly at Poipu Beach Park at night. And luckily, nothing untoward. Only one time did someone I befriended, did they steal something from me. But anyway, so then I became aware, I'm from California, and when I was in California, living in Santa Cruz, the waiting list to get in public housing was 15 years. So when I came in acquaintanceship with one of these gentlemen who's working at the restaurant with me, and he and his wife were managing this, low-income housing, affordable housing unit in Koloa, I applied, and then I was homeless for about a year, and I slept out at Mahalapu, and I put my stuff in a storage unit, and luckily I got in just before Iniki. So to me, it's been a blessing to live someplace where I pay a third of what I get. And so for these last 26 years, instead of being homeless, I've had a place to live. And then they recently, about 6 years ago, the rich dude who gets the federal, benefits, and this is what I'm trying to the point I'm trying to make, is that maybe under Mr. Trump, we will give more tax breaks to these rich folk who are able to have the wherewithal to build these subsidized in the place I live in. There's a million rules. You can't have wind chimes. You can't have a candle. A zillion rules. But I'm willing to put up with the rules, because it applies to everybody. So, and I've seen a zillion people come and go. But it's like I'm so thankful, to have a place to live. And I just think getting these rich folks, like the guy who, rich dude who you know, took over this place, and it was then subsequently built about 40 years ago here in Koloa. So it has nothing to do, and I know there's a place in Koloa where it's like county, federal, and state, but this is just the rich dude getting the tax break. So I think this is the way to go, because there's a lot of rich people who, you know, even though Trump will give them more tax breaks, they have the wherewithal to do this kind of activity. And that would solve the funding, you know, aspect. And I just think, you know, I'm just so thankful, because, you know, it's like most people, a lot of tourists come by and they want to buy into the place. You know, they think they're like condos. They're so well maintained. And whereas, for example, I know they used to have like a, they still have a place in LA. Some friends of mine used to live there, and for I don't know 40, 50 years, whatever. You know, I've only been here 31
yeah.
years, but they, you know, it was junk. I didn't. They finally painted the place, but so that was state. And I just think that, you know, the funding way for the rich dudes, that's the way to go.
Well, thank you for calling that in.
Thank you, Felicia. Love your program.
Thank you. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
E mana oe aloha, no e kalanie, e kupa no he kama, na kama vai lua lanie, e ho mana o mauno, kalanie ana ole, e mana oe aloha, aloha e, aloha e, aloha e.
Please join us at the Prince Kuhio Luau celebration held on March 25th at Koloa Landing Resort. Doors open at 4:15 p.m., show from 5 to 8. Featuring Halau Kale Mokihana Ole Na'ala, Nahomana O Kawaikini, and music by Nohoku Hanohana Award-winning 2016 Group of the Year Mauna Lua, along with a luau buffet and a silent auction. Tickets available online at www.kawaikini.com, kawaikini.com, or call 808-378-4256. Mahalo. Okay, I want to go to that. The Kawaikini kids, I just love their recent input on KKCR. It's really, really nice. So, and that fundraiser, it sounds like a wonderful event. All right, do we have a caller, Marshall?
We sure do.
Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Mahalo. I'd like to do a rebuttal to the last call-in, please.
Okay.
You know, we need to get a panel of people that are like this last person who happens to be my neighbor in the same complex on the air with you after we do a little tour around the South Shore. Because when you go into that county council meeting, you're not getting a picture at all. You're not connecting the dots. Neither are the Dems in the House. And the long and the short of it is they're rubber stamping us Hawaiians right into hell. Not just the beach. Into hell. They've been doing it for 127 years, and we're freaking sick of it. If it's not the beach, it's jail. 34% of the incarcerated Wahinis in the islands are Native Hawaiians. 34%.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
This is really, really important that people start standing up and don't take any little piece of paper that says you're terminated. Walk over to the asshole who's your resident manager. Excuse my French, but I do speak three languages.
Yeah, no cussing. Yeah, please. Thank you. Uh-huh. Go on.
And you give him your keys back and you leave because you violated your little rules. No. We have some of the best protection in tenant rights here in Hawaii, and we're getting our sovereignty rights back. Slowly but slowly, because people stand up. They're getting educated. They're becoming PhDs. I've been a doctor. I'm a kahu, and I'm being treated like crap. Major paka.
I am sorry about that, and in alignment with that, I know tomorrow I will be going, without naming names, to the west side, and there is an amazing cultural practitioner that has some serious health issues who is being evicted off state land where there is a place to live there. They're just you know, it breaks my heart because this is a Kanaka Maoli Hawaiian practitioner and getting that 48-hour eviction notice. And where do these people go? You know, it's heartbreaking.
I can tell you where we go.
Where?
Because I've been doing it for 63 years. You go to the next spot. You go to the furthest. You go to the furthest picnic table. You go. You just keep going around. You get akamai. We got a different kind of akamai, you know, in Hawaii.
Well, that's what she said, actually. She said that.
We turn our back to it. We don't know the future.
She didn't.
Only the kahuna knows the future. But Haoles, they want to tell us how to plan everything, how to follow all these rules. And it's backfiring on them now, okay? Because people like myself are tired of it. I'm sitting out on our church boat right now in the most beautiful spot. You know, it's on the water. I don't see any people. I saw Pueo the other day here, and he talked to me because it's my omokua. She talked to me. She said, here's my nest, and she flew over to where her nest is. Her nest is so vulnerable because there's all this wild pig going loose, you know, her nest in the bushes. But you know what she'll do? She'll fly to another place. That's what she'll do because you cannot take the mana. You can take our lives, but you cannot take the mana, Haoles. You can take our bones. But then you got really bad, bad mana going to come back on you. And we need your help, Alicia, and all you other people that have so much privilege that you can just debate all this stuff. And that's what it is. It's white privilege. You come over here and you displace a lot of people. You're our friends. You're honest Americans for the most part. But you're so ignorant. So I applaud you for this, to bring it up to the light, to go before the county council and bust them on this. They're all going to be fighting in The Hague against war crimes.
And just for clarity, I understand what you're saying. And on this piece that I've been talking about is in the legislature at the state. I know it can be in both locations, but for listeners who are listening, what I'm saying, testimony needs to go in by tomorrow. That is for the state legislature on two bills, one a Senate bill and one a House bill. And that, you know, I will say a disproportionate amount of the houseless people are from the Hawaiian community. Also, for sure, on Oahu, from the Melon.
And very ill people.
And very ill people.
Mental illness. And here's your ace in the hole, my friend. That are houseless, homeless, if you go and you beg your doctor to look how you can get into housing through a reasonable accommodation from your doctors, a reasonable accommodation, because that's the bill we need to focus on. If we're going to, you know, make Hawaii Nei Pono again, we have to not have houseless people. We never did. We have Pu'ehunua. We have sheltered areas, and there's all these places, like you've talked about so many times before, empty warehouses. Here's the old, how about the old Kauai police station? Beautiful building. How about the post office?
I can tell you on that one, though, because I actually do look into these things, and the old Kauai police station is filled with asbestos. So that's why it hasn't been repurposed, because that was a suggestion, because there's bathrooms, there's all kinds of things. And,
tile, just like the Civic Center, right?
This one is, you know, the amount to repair it would be better to tear the building down and just put a good one in. So, I'm looking, you know, try and come up with ideas. And when I was talking about the general plan update, I understand why many people are so discouraged from keep talking, and, you know, I will own my white privilege. Even though I had a rough childhood, I mean, I feel very blessed with what I have now, so I will own that, but I do try hard to be looking at these solutions, and the things like the general plan update, that was a big piece of it today is what do we do for housing, because people can't find it. And it's not like they even have mental illness or some bad health or anything like that. Even healthy young people can't find housing.
Well, I encourage people to Google reasonable accommodations, and you will find some studies by there's a lot of young people now that are getting PhDs in sociology. A lot of people are getting PhDs in psychology, and we have laws in, you know, the federal housing. They really need to comply with these things, and so does the county in everything, on the buses. You know, in every place, there's more than just the ramp. There's more than just, people think reasonable accommodation. It's way, way more. It's way more.
Well, there are many studies that also show that if there is a housing first policy, that the government saves quite a bit of money, whether it's keeping people from being incarcerated or having health crises. You could run up more than the cost of housing them for a year if you have to put them in the hospital for 2 or 3
and
weeks.
And the veterans have proven that over and over again.
Yeah.
So veterans first programs are very good there, and they really focus on the post-traumatic stress disorder, which I have as well. And when I'm in it, you know, like this, being strong and being angry, and sometimes, you know, the vulgarity will come out, and, you know, us Hawaiians, we're freaking this and freaking that all the time, you know. But it's because we're so frustrated and we're ill. We've been knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. And back to this housing situation, for 4 months they blasted through solid rock, and they didn't put us in a place that was habitable. Previous to that, for 4.5 years, I suffered from chronic dysentery up until even yesterday. And I leave. I go to the beach and I go camp out because it's poisoned at the place that I'm being subsidized.
And that's in Kailua.
Yes. And that's the last caller. He, too, was going out of his mind because of the noise there. And he's very much a hermit. I love him very much. A very smart man. He was driving us crazy.
Well,
not just crazy. It broke one of my eardrums.
Well, I was
ringing in my ears right now.
I thank you both for calling in and calling attention to this. And that helps us with what we're moving on to and discussing, like, in the larger process. So I hope you keep listening, because I'm going to be talking about a little bit how this national, I know that isn't the Hawaiian nation, but the United States has things going on that are likely to impact us as well.
And in our native brother and sisters communities, because 30 years ago, I volunteered in Pine Ridge, and I really believed that they were doomed.
In South Dakota.
They would never have a Standing Rock, and I'm so glad I was wrong.
Standing Rock, even though they're ready to put that oil underground, the pipeline is finished. Very, very upsetting that that has happened, but there's still the empowerment of Standing Rock, and the Native movement was there with their teepees and everything else in Washington, D.C. this week. So thank you so much for calling in.
Mahalo for your hat, too.
Yeah, aloha. I'll talk to you later. Aloha. So that, Marshall, does bring me to thinking about some of what's going on nationally. And I see that you're looking at something on the computer. What are you looking at?
Felicia, I'm actually looking at the definition of hate speech.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's speech that offends, threatens, or insults groups based on race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, disability, or other traits. That caller obviously was not appropriate to bring up the issue of racial tension and racial slurs, but I have to admit I take exception to being categorized as ignorant based on the color of my skin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't think that is exactly what was trying to be said, like, categorically about all people who are white.
Well, she did say that. You white people.
Okay. All right. Well, I apologize on that point. point, and I know on KKCR we do not want to be promoting hate speech.
I didn't figure.
I do like to allow people to express where they are frustrated. I think that, like, what we're hearing there is probably shared by many people. I certainly, you know, I'm not saying that all white people do bad things.
No, and the grievances are real, and the struggle is certainly for real. I can't say that I understand that pain and frustration. You know, I don't have that experience. But it's interesting to think about what we need to do to together overcome those sorts of problems. And it reminds me of the Sister Giant information that I've been looking at, because it really is a powerful enunciation of where spirituality can intersect with politics, and emphasizes bringing ourselves and each other up to higher levels of functioning and relating in order to transcend politics.
Yes, and we will look at some of the things with Sister Giant in just a few minutes right after the top of the hour, and we'll explain it. Probably most people don't know what that event was, but that does have to do with national politics, and it was really a movement in reaction to what is happening in Washington, D.C., and so as we move into that, I want to acknowledge, as she was talking about, protections, and when we have protection under reasonable accommodation, I want to call attention to the fact that there are national bills before the legislature in the U.S. government with a Republican House that predominantly supports these moves. And on my website, FeliciaCowden.com, under the resources page, I have even a tracker to be looking, because sometimes I'm pretty disappointed in what our legislators are doing. That would be Mazie and Brian Schatz, Mazie Hirono, Brian Schatz. Tulsi Gabbard is our representative from here. You gave me a piece where you could put in a zip code, and what I saw is they didn't put Tulsi on there. And I went to an event this week which had somebody from the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is basically, I see, almost splitting. So from the stage to a big auditorium, that person who is in the Democratic Party, and I'm not going to mention names right here, but was basically trash-talking Tulsi Gabbard up there. And, I noticed. I actually called and left a message for her, and I left a message that it's not pulling her up on that piece. Colleen Honabusa is for Honolulu, is the representative for Oahu.
Should we give out that number?
Sure, except that I don't like that number, because it's not giving you accurate information. So
right.
when they have that number there, which is a Colorado number, by the way, or Arizona, it might be an Arizona number, where you put your zip code in, if they don't give you the right information, that is political manipulation, when they leave somebody off the table. So that's what I watch when I'm seeing all this dialogue. I'm kind of watching through a screen. I mean, I'm listening. I'm hearing them blame everything on Russia. I'm not buying into that, by the way. I mean, yeah. I mean, even if Russia did manipulate our election or try to manipulate our election, it's not like we don't do that everywhere, right? So we're getting really angry at another country for beating us at our own game, right? They're not even saying, hey, it exposed the underbelly of what wasn't healthy in our own political system, so maybe some people got discouraged. That's the accusation, but they're not talking about the underbelly.
You know, actually, it goes much deeper than that at this point. The accusation is that the Trump campaign and organization actively worked in collusion with the Russian government during the campaign to sway the results of the campaign.
It says that, but it doesn't give any evidence. There's no evidence.
Well,
at least
yeah,
I haven't seen any evidence. Have you?
Yeah.
Because I try and go, I look and I go and I try and come all the way down to that core piece of information. And it's just somebody else saying the same thing. I mean, they're not showing you a real document. Like when you see the WikiLeaks thing, you can go and you're seeing the real emails. And the people like John Podesta or whoever's emails that we're talking about, they don't say, hey, I didn't write that. That's not correct. They're saying the Russians looked at it and they shouldn't have done that. They're not even saying, no, I didn't do it. So I'm not seeing those core informations. We're at the top of the hour, so we can come back to this in just a minute. But I want to say you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. And our number is 808-826-7771, as your two programmers are debating their own opinions on the political thing and looking it up at the same time. So I appreciate that we don't have the same perspective on this. But Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with The Copper Man and Second Skin.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Second Skin Organics Hawaiian Mosquito Shield. Safe and effective. Protecting you and your ohana since 2001. Kauai grown, GMO free, sustainable organic agriculture based solutions. Uamau ke'ea o ka'aina I ka pono. More information on their global mission and vision for Hawaii at secondskinorganics.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And Marshall, you're looking intently on the computer. You probably have some evidence. Let's hear it.
You know what, Felicia?
I'm not picking you up. Try.
Yeah, so there.
I'm not picking you up.
How about now? How about now?
Mm-mm.
Mic four?
Yep, it's not on. Okay. I'm going to have you grab a different mic. Okay, so, all right, so we're going to get Marshall on a different mic.
How's that?
Good, except stop touching it. Uh-huh.
You know what? It's a tangled web, Felicia. It's not easy to follow, and there's misinformation and disinformation just coming from all directions. It's really hard to tell what's going on. I will certainly give you that, but it looks like the evidence is accumulating that there's some strong connections there. And when you look at what's happening now, it looks like the Russians, if they could call the shots in America, they probably couldn't ask for better than what's happening.
I would give you that.
Yeah. So doesn't it sort of make sense to consider maybe they are calling the shots?
I'm not connecting the dots that clearly, but I will own that I'm not looking at the dots that deeply. My focus is so much on Kauai and then beyond that in Hawaii. And then I look across the ocean and I will say that it just seems like, you know, there's a brush fire going on. And when I look at these bills that are wanting to deconstruct healthcare, education, the regulatory agencies.
Right.
There's a lot happening, and so we definitely have a lot of challenges, and discerning the political manipulations from the truth is a big and important part of what's there, and I believe that we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Hello? You're on the air.
Felicia, I'm sorry. Felicia, I'm sorry. That caller actually didn't care to go on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me just a second.
Okay. So we have that, and we'll be looking at some of that. And when I look at what all is coming up here, even just kind of related, yesterday was the anniversary of the Hawaiian Nation, the group, the Nation of Hawaii, March 13th, 1999, they began. And so yesterday at the State Building, there was a number of people there, and they were making a statement about their position and the unjustness of the occupation of Hawaii. And I will give credit to that group that they have put together a constitution, a legislative structure, many rules, and they really are working on building their organization.
Okay, sorry, Felicia, I keep forgetting. I got to use this mic over here. That caller wanted to point out that after having a complaint about a racial generalization, I went ahead and generalized about Russians. So I should clarify. Actually, when I said the Russians, I meant the highest levels of the Russian government and the intelligence agencies.
Thank you, caller. Because that's true. You know?
It is true. We have to watch what we're saying.
Right. And when we say things like they, meaning the government, it's like, who is they? Is it, there's like a deep state, you know? And that's one of the things, like when I look at this deconstruction, that's what it looks like to me. There was an executive order, I can pull it up, an executive order that got signed yesterday to allow the heads of these different divisions, the Secretary of Defense or Education or, you know, Health, the different groups, to go through and the EPA and make it more efficient. And I think that there's not a lot of argument that these things aren't efficient. Certainly the people who are concerned about the environment or pharmaceuticals, they accuse these agencies of doing a terrible job. I mean, I've been hearing that for as long as I've been on the radio, which I don't remember how long, 7 or 8 years now. People are very unhappy with the job that the regulators are doing. So there is an executive order that says, all right, you know, let's clean house. Let's go through. Let's look at what's inefficient, what's duplicated, all of that. And everybody, including me, not everybody, many people, including me, that gives me a very nervous stomach, because when I look at who was appointed, people who are adverse to these agencies were appointed. But so it'd be one thing if you had somebody appointed to the Environmental Protection Agency or the Department of Interior or the Secretary of State who was coming from what one could call a pono or a righteous position, where they're looking truly without a personal objective. When we see that we have, you know, the CEO of Exxon and these entities that have a clear conflict of interest, and then they're the ones that are supposed to be deconstructing it, well, that's harder to really feel very comfortable about. And so education and healthcare, both of them have very important bills. And I... You know, what I do is I actively call my legislators and tell them that, you know, how I feel, or find out where their positions are. And I'm looking at, you know, what we're going to do for them. We have those things. So what did the caller need?
They wanted to contact me after the show.
Okay, and I'm going to tell the callers, don't call in to just have a conversation offline, because it is very hard to manage that from the air. It's because then I can't concentrate, because I have to hear that conversation going on. So when we're looking at... Have you followed the healthcare issue? I know that you care very much about the healthcare issue.
Yeah, well, it's all over the news. It's amazing because the Congressional Budgeting Office came out with their numbers and took it. I mean, for years and years, the Republicans have been repealing Obamacare symbolically. They couldn't ever really do that, but it seems like that's mostly what they did in the House for the past 8 years. But they never had a replace plan, and were able to kind of like blow off the criticism that they didn't have anything to replace it. So push comes to shove, they came up with a replacement plan, and lo and behold, in the next 10 years, it would kick 24 million people off of their health insurance. 24 million fewer people with health insurance.
Right, and people can die doing that. So, Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're on
Aloha.
The air.
Is this Marshall?
It's Felicia.
Hey, Felicia, it's Jimmy Trujillo.
Hi, Jimmy.
I'm sorry that I wasn't able to call in earlier, and I don't know. I haven't been listening. I haven't been able
X-Man came in, and we talked a little bit about this for X-Man and us. We spoke
good.
A little
so you
bit
covered.
About, yeah, the
meeting tomorrow night and tomorrow during the council, all that stuff.
And so the timing that we had for the council sounds like it's pretty much first on the agenda. Is that consistent with what you are aware of?
That's what I've been told.
So that's about 8:30.
I think they're meeting with the mayor first thing, so they probably won't get to the council till like 9.
Okay.
That was what I got in an email, was that it was going to be early on the agenda after 9, but early so that in case Chair Enright had to leave.
Okay, that's great. And a lot of times they will do that when it's pulling a whole day out. They won't make either a paid group sit there for 3 hours.
Right.
So... okay, and did you happen to go to the Waimea River Clean? That seems like something that you might have done.
Yeah, not this Saturday. No, I was working this Saturday, but I was pretty impressed with both the turnout, but even more so just the thought and action of the student body and some of the adults in the community over there that spurred the action.
Yeah, I want to give a big shout-out to Waimea High School for... studying the silt. I believe there's 7 silt islands in the river, and they organized a 2-day effort to dig out, you know, the closest to the shore silt island to try and help create better flow of the river. It is really clear that a good reason for that is that the majority of the water is diverted upstream. It goes over to Kekaha and out to the ocean that way. And these river issues are a rather big deal. We're seeing quite a lot of action with the North Fork of the Wailua. And, again, that is appropriate for today's conversation as we're talking about the general plan update. Because how we manage our surface waters, even though that's a state issue, it flows down, every pun intended, into where we are going to be putting neighborhoods and development. So right now, as we're developing Hanama'ulu, that water is really coming from Wailua. So it's coming from the adjacent Ahupua'a.
Right. And we just had sat at a little planning session for the community college. Kauai Community College is going to be hosting a series of Earth Day related events during the third week of April, from April 18th through April 21st. And we are going to have a panel. It's going to be a live broadcast on KKCR. And the panel is going to feature folks like Mike DeHillig from the Department of Planning, as well as some very Akamai water, water stewards.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Asquith has been helping us to kind of do some of the organizing around this. Another gentleman who is Kanaka from, I believe, in the Kalaheo area. I could have his name wrong, but I want to say it's Kui Palama.
Oh, yes, young man.
His
you got his name right.
Case, if you're familiar with that. I'm
with
not.
With the pig hunting, his crops were getting impacted by pigs, and he went hunting, and he got arrested for trespassing, and then the courts determined in his favor because he wasn't trespassing.
Exercising his citizenship as a native practitioner.
Yep.
And so he will be one of the featured panelists as well to talk. We'd like to invite the student body and the faculty and adults who helped organize the Waimea River Bucket Brigade as well. So just trying to do a number of different things focused on water. We're also, I think, John Osorio from Oahu is going to be featured one day as a speaking event. So the events are going to be probably in the next 2 weeks, like really solidified, and we'll have a nice kind of announcement. And I think it's the 30th of March is the fifth Thursday. Eric Hansen, myself, Adam Asquith, are going to be in the booth talking about the water issues and the water panel, trying to help frame the discussion and set some
in the booth on KCR on Thursday from 4 to 6.
Yeah, that will be a out-of-the-box special. So definitely water is life and paramount to our existence.
If I could make a recommendation, I wonder if you could ask Brad Rockwell from the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative to come in. He might, you know, he's the chief engineer for that. So he seems to have walked that water area a lot. So
Brad's been kind of on the list, as well as the chairman of the board, Jen Tenbruggen, just because of the direction comes from somewhere in regards to this is how we want to move forward with our utility co-op and how we want to manage the resource without being, criminal in activity or poor stewards of the resource.
And then another recommendation, I forget his first name, but one of the Beamers, one of the young Beamers, the dad's the musician, is on the Commission of Water Resource Management. He seems to like really care and see it from a traditional perspective as well.
That's a great person to have on that commission.
Yeah, I would ask somebody. Not telling you what to do, but here I am. I'm telling you what to do.
Well,
I'm making a suggestion.
It's going one ear out the other. The group that's doing the organizing, they're kind of trying to solidify right now.
Okay. Well, I think if we had somebody from the Commission on Water Resource Management, that would be a really excellent person to also have on that panel to at least invite them, because then we have a decision maker. You know, one of the users that maybe is using more than people want,
having
a good balanced conversation so that we can all come together and go, oh, I get it.
Well, and that's one of the goals of having it be broadcast, too, as using that archived record data as a point going forward. Here's what we know, and here are some of the things that we're going to have to do in the future to better manage and to make it equitable for all concerned parties.
Yes, so I thank you for what you're doing. And Seed the Untold Story is going to be playing at Kauai Community College this Saturday night. Have you seen a flyer for that yet?
I did see something posted on Facebook recently, and so I was kind of intrigued and looking forward to that. I definitely have had more, if you will, my mind has been on the other end of the pesticide spectrum, looking at the presentation tomorrow by Chair Scott Enright with the council, and you guys talked about it earlier.
Yeah,
so won't belabor the point. But
I'll be there in the morning for
meeting
sure.
Meeting in the evening with the chair again to talk to beekeepers. And, you know, there's just a lot of questions that the and that's part of the scientific process. You start asking questions, and then you get some answers, and with those answers, you have more questions. And so we're going to continue to ask some of those questions. Somebody shared with me their thought on it as far as being concerned about pesticides and the interaction between bees and pesticides. And he was saying, I'm more kind of intrigued by it than I'm concerned. I think it's a mystery, and I want to know what the route of transmission is. And mm-hmm. I really like that idea of the route of transmission, because right. that's what I want to know. I want to know how do these products get into a hive when they're not sprayed directly into the hive. And so
thank you. And people can come tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the back building there in the technology area.
That's going to be room 114 in the Daniel K. Inouye Tech Center
room
on the beautiful Hawaii Community College campus in beautiful
okay.
downtown Puhi.
So thank you, Jimmy Trujillo, and I've
yes,
got
thank you, Felicia and Marshall, for holding down the fort and creating space and discussing the important matters, whether it's healthcare or our water and Aina. These are all definitely things we cannot do without.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Aloha.
Aloha.
And aloha, thank you for holding. You are on the air.
Oh, thanks, Felicia.
Hi.
And Marshall.
Aloha.
Going back to some of those people's comments coming from Kaloa, I've been in a homeless situation myself at times, and I can tell you that there are on the island some really cool, like pirate-type camps that you're not in the public eye and you're removed from society, but what I've seen to some of these camps is you get the wrong kind of people in there and they have domestic issues or whatever, end up calling cops, and then they've just brought tons of attention to themselves.
I'm gonna confirm that. I mean, I sit in these meetings where these issues are discussed, and it isn't,
you know,
just completely
there's,
heartless.
There's all kinds of different mm-hmm. places on the island that, you know, if you're really truly homeless, you can get out of the public eye, but I would just tell anybody that's in that situation, make sure daily you take your trash out, you know, keep your campsite real clean, and never walk away from your campsite with something that if it gets stolen, you can't deal without it, you know. I mean, you have no security, so what you leave behind could get lifted.
Yes.
But,
and,
you know, it's just sad. I've built, you know, small shacks screened in so you out of the bug, out of the weather. And then after I've moved on, I find out that somebody moved in and they let it go to crap and brought attention on themselves, and then it got demolished. So,
yeah,
everybody's
so,
got to be accountable, even if you're down and out, you know, you got to be accountable.
So thank you for calling in and sharing that.
All right. Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. Yeah, so it's just really important. It's tough when it's sort of criminal to just exist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is, you know, there's a secondary side to it, too. Sometimes people don't like to be living near, they don't want people living near their home. So there's all kinds of layers on that. We have another beautiful story from Kauai Kini. I'm really enjoying these kids.
This word of the day is brought to you by Nahamana o Kauai Kini, the students of Kauai Kini.
Aloha mai kako, o ke ali'i ko'u inoa, o ka mana'o o ke ia la, oia ka ia o opu, o ka pela ana, oia o kina o kina o pi u. This is from Okina o Okina o P-U. O ka olela no eo, or the Hawaiian proverb, oia no ka ia aka vai nui I lawe mai ai. The translation of this is the fish born along by the food. The meaning of this Hawaiian proverb is the o'opu, which was often carried to the lowlands by the river. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So, all right. So I was mentioning Seed, the Untold Story. That is, there's been a number of films that have, some films, I think we've had two or three that have come out this year that are going through all the film festivals that focused on the citizen movement here in what we call the 2491, the pesticide disclosure time. And so they're coming out a full 2 years after sort of the sundown of the actual activism. This one, Seed, the Untold Story, there's a feature in this film that discusses that, and they came to Kauai. But I have to say, this was a really, really well-done film. And what it is talking about is the importance of the diversity of seeds. And so it isn't necessarily attacking any individual company. I mean, it kind of gets into a little bit about the pesticides and things like that. But the main thing is our habit. It really comes down to the consumer and this whole big, huge agriculture where one crop is grown in, you know, almost what's the size of a state, or maybe a state grows two crops. And so we end up, instead of having corn or, you know, broccoli or whatever the crop is that's appropriate for Hawaii and appropriate for California and Arizona and, you know, Mexico or Peru or wherever, instead of having that, we are having essentially a monospecies of that crop. So we're really limiting ourselves from what we've had.
Monocropping with seeds that are all genetically identical to each other. Like you have zero genetic diversity in that system.
Largely, yes. I mean, I know that there are seeds that are meant for being a little bit higher latitude or a little bit shorter summers. But it is, instead of having huge amount of diversity, like in Hawaii here, there were at least about 400 different types of kalo, because maybe it grew high up in a drier valley and another one grew closer to the ocean on the windward side with a lot of water. And you know, you and I are both part of Regenerations, and part of what we do with our seed bank is in island adapted seeds is finding which ones go to seed and thrive in which areas. And something that thrives in Kalaheo may not thrive in Hanalei, and vice versa, because they're going to have different adaptations. So on an island that's only 35 miles across, there's an incredible amount of variation. And so when you think of a globe, there's an incredible amount of variation. And I'm sure the corn that they grow in India isn't exactly the same as what they might be growing in Iowa or someplace more cold. But there's just not enough diversity, and we are narrowing ourselves to a limited amount of starches and a limited amount of grains. And so we're really making foolish choices with our food supply. So it's not trying to make, or at least it doesn't emphasize that one group or another is super responsible to it. It's like a bad habit that we have as an entire culture since World War II.
It's not pointing the finger at GMO companies for erasing tons of genetic diversity by putting out their genetically modified seeds.
Is that a question?
I'm posing a question.
What it's mostly talking about.
Yeah.
It's talking about the importance of having all this diversity. And then, one of the things, because genetic modification, where it's genetic engineering, where you're crossing, a spider with a plant or something like that, that's really only been maybe 20 years. But we have been doing industrial agriculture for 70 years, 80 years. World War II was the real big turning point in that. But even, you know, a couple decades before that, we were seeing more of it. It's when we've had these transportation systems. So as we have gotten big farm machinery, before that, you know, you're not going to have it if you've got a water buffalo and a plow, right, or horses and a plow. So it's been since we've had mechanized farm equipment, and we don't need so many farmers. That's when the big change started happening. And are the people at the top of the food chain right now, I mean, the companies at the top of the food chain, as we have stuff, it's a global business. Yes, they're the beneficiaries of the challenge, maybe we could put that. But what I liked with the film is it put its biggest emphasis on how important it is to have this diversity of seed. There's a piece that's talking about why we have a problem, but really the big takeaway is the value and the passion of having all these seeds. And in some ways, it's like the alcoholic blaming the liquor store when we put all our anger at certain institutions, but if we're not willing to kind of go back to the farm, we had a big migration into the cities, and people stopped farming, and we need to be kind of pulling our interest back into doing that if we want to really be doing things well. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. And we have a special event coming up, and it is for Hanalei School. They do these really great Starry, Starry Nights, and let's hear about it.
Legendary Party of the Year, a benefit concert for Hanalei School. Starry Nights presents the Soft White 60s and DJ Doja at the St. Regis Princeville Resort on Saturday, April 8th. Doors open at 6 p.m., 21 and over. Silent and live auctions with custom items exclusive for Starry Nights. Tickets are limited and available at Hanalei Surf Company, Magic Dragon, Healthy Hut, and online. More information at 647-0188 and Hanalei School on Facebook.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. Please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you. Your support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
It does. We appreciate you. You keep us on the air.
So I was going to say, Felicia, the other part of genetic seed diversity is that the small seed companies are getting all...
Absorbed,
yeah.
Right.
And so there's another culprit. Did the film actually point to solutions as well?
Yes, it did. I mean, the biggest solution, I mean, the most important solution is for people to become aware of what goes into their bodies, what goes into their food, and to actually start buying locally and start growing locally and start saving seed.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it gave the industry a pass. The point is that the story was about something much larger than the industry. The story is about, our own behavior and basically the cultural shifts that we've had.
And there'll be a Q&A.
Yeah, there'll be questions and answers. There'll be a panel afterwards. I know, Kauai Community Radio's Paul Massey from In the Garden on the Farm. He is among those on the panel.
Also Director of Regenerations.
Director of Regenerations.
Botanical Garden, yeah.
And we have the seed bank. You and I are both a pretty big part of that. So, it's an organization. We do the seed and plant exchanges. And who else is on the panel? Do you know?
Is Dustin going to be there?
I don't know.
I can pull it up.
Okay, why don't you pull it up? I did see that Dr. Lee Evslin wrote a very compelling article in Civil Beat in response to earlier this week. There had been an article that was basically describing people, the anti-scientist denialists, as, mocking them. And... so we have both sides of this argument, but, Dr. Lee Evslin, who's an OBGYN, mostly a pediatrician, baby doctor, I think he's more of a baby doctor, his main point that I pulled out of it is the science is clear, compelling, and worrisome. The solutions are obviously much more complex. His prediction is that the world will move towards less pesticide-intensive farming as the science continues to show the adverse effects of toxins in our environment and in our food. And in that article, he goes down with the pediatric findings of where unquestionably environmental toxins are impacting our babies, our children, and that the trend line it's clear that there's a, you know, at least a 17% increase in developmental disabilities just in the past 10 years. So it can be a number of things, but at the top of the list of their concerns is pesticide toxins. I see you're looking at something, Marshall.
Yes, you know, I thought this was a list of the speakers, but actually this is who's featured in the film. So I don't have that information.
Yeah, there is a few people from Kauai, but it is this particular film, unlike some of the others that are out that are almost entirely about the situation on Kauai, that is making the national and international circuit, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, there are four films, including this one, Seed the Untold Stories, but there's Poisoning Paradise and
is it Ina?
Island Earth. Ina isn't new, and that's a smaller one. Ina was one. I'm forgetting the fourth one, but they have been, you know, touring the nation and the world. So it is an expanding awareness. But I think as people around the world just start to realize we need to do something a little bit better. I mean, like jumping topics here a little bit, but KIUC, their power cooperative, they had their battery blessing, their Tesla battery blessing this Saturday.
Yeah, how was that?
Well, I was at the Creative Lab workshop, and I could talk about it a little bit. That was really cool. The film industry education trying to support the development of homegrown filmmakers here to be fostering a new branch or strengthening another economic branch that is relatively low impact. It was great, but the battery blessing was at the same time, so I couldn't go. But it is on Ma'alo Road, and they had the electric cars there, and I heard it was really, really good. These batteries, they look kind of big. I'm hoping that we have a good plan if there's a hurricane, that somehow there's something that's going to keep all these panels that are everywhere from getting blown around.
Oh, they must be hurricane-proof, don't you think?
Well, they got to do something. When you look at it flying in, it doesn't look like it. But there must be something that goes on top of them and locks them down. They probably have some fold-down. I need to look into that because that is that's very important. But on the topic of the batteries, there was an article that came out about a 94-year-old scientist.
Yeah, John Goodenough. He invented the lithium ion battery and apparently has never gotten fame or fortune for that or some of the other amazing things he's done, but apparently he's come up with a new kind of battery that has triple the energy storage of standard batteries, much higher longevity. It doesn't explode like lithium ion batteries. It's solid state, which means there are no liquid components, and it promises to actually potentially jumpstart the electric car industry because it would be enough to solve the consumer issues of distance and reliability for energy. Yeah, it charges much faster in a matter of minutes rather than hours.
Hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like really a huge leap. It's amazing. It's not ready for commercial development yet.
But it's a start.
It's a start. They have the cathode and they're working on the diode or something like that. But sounds like a fairly sure thing that this is going to work. It's just not ready to start to hand over to business.
And I'm excited that a 94-year-old person is applauded and, breaking ground of how capable people can be at, you know, many ages.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of that story.
Fantastic. And so, yeah, the Tesla batteries, and that got national coverage, too. I got a message from a friend in Delaware. Congratulations for living on Kauai, little island with the biggest solar power installation in the country. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's pretty cool. There's a lot to be proud of. And
you know what? Am I wrong? Not the biggest solar power installation. The biggest battery.
Yeah. But we are definitely ahead of the pack for moving towards renewables.
Yeah.
You know, we set goals and we have exceeded them and are continuing to exceed them. The election for Kauai Island Utility Cooperative Board of Directors is almost coming to a close. I would say if you still have your ballots out, if you open up that envelope, there is a number there. You can go online and vote online. And so you can do that immediately. You can also, there is a phone number you can call it in.
You can call in your votes.
You can call in your vote. You have to give your number, your member number, that you get a sort of a secret number, so it's they just know that nobody gets a vote twice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call it in. I think it is really good for people to be active and participate in what we have going. It sends a strong message to them. I, for the most part, feel pretty good about what our power company does. You know, we have safe power. You know, we're so lucky that we aren't in some real big utility grid, and it is rare to have a small cooperative like we have that functions as this does. So, you know, I feel like when we are arguing, we're arguing around the edges.
Mm.
You know, we're not arguing at the core of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least as I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to make sound decisions. And, you know, when you fly in, I have to say I'm a little bit, you know, I don't like looking at acres and acres of what looks like a big mirror there.
Mm.
But when we're scolding, you know, the Dakota Access Pipeline for what's happening there at Standing Rock, when we have all these things, somebody else has got to take the hit, right? So if we're taking it for our own environmental impacts, that's great. And so that's one big thing that happened. I was mentioning about Creative Labs or Creative Lab. It's really nice to see our state and local government working hard to build the intellectual property skills of the population. It's not just film. It's books. It's publishing. It's making games. It's making apps. They have a real commitment, and they're jumping around from island to island, having workshops. It's free. The quality of the people that were there is just stunning, stunning. And it's not like you just go to the workshop. If you become a part of it, and if you wanted to become a part of it, you know, you should contact the Office of Economic Development in the county and probably talk to Randy Francisco. He's probably the best vector. He's part of that. And so you can apply, and you have to be serious about whatever goal or dream that you have, but it's not just one weekend. It's about 3 months of help from, you know, high capacity people trying to make sure that that grows forward. So
that's beautiful. So it's the County of Kauai putting resources and making an investment.
And the state as well. The state put a lot of money into it too.
Into growing a sort of homegrown film industry.
Yeah. Definitely strengthening that up. And, you know, obviously we've had movies done here, but this effort is working hard to make sure that who we're really building up is the people who live here, who grow here, and how it's not necessarily just another entity coming in, bringing all their crew and stuff. It's trying to work at building at what we have at home. And, you know, Ron Cochi was a big part of that. And, you know, it was a good thing. I'm expecting to hear from, we haven't gotten a call in yet. We might have to cover it next week, but there's an event on the island of Hawaii tonight. They have a dairy there And so the community is reacting to the impact. And
so they have an existing dairy.
They have an existing dairy by the same company, Ulupono Initiatives.
Okay.
And so, you know, I wanted to hear how it is from them over there. And there is a district councilwoman there who I know gave our mayor and people over here a call and gave a report. And I was wanting to hear it from the horse's mouth rather than to say what I expect her to be saying. But maybe she'll call in soon. Otherwise, that might be next week. It might be after this event happens. Another issue that is out there is the Lihue Post Office. And so I think the big challenge is how it affects people who typically walk to the post office. And so if people have an opinion on that, I think it's important for them to send something to council testimony at kauai.gov. And you'd put Lihue Post Office. You could write support for move or oppose move. But the council has the time to actually read the letters, and they do.
Well, what do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, personally, if I lived in Lihue, I know I walk to my post office in Kilauea. I'm somebody who likes to live in a village. I like to not get in the car. So they've put a lot of effort of having the senior housing right there. They've put a lot of effort in to having a concentration there. So, and here we just fixed up the roads so that they are walk-friendly. You know, we took lanes out of the roads in that area because we're trying to have more of a pedestrian area. So I think, you know, the post office is something that people deal with regularly. So to me, but I defer to the people who live in that area. To me, I would think keep it there. You know, we've had a couple of deaths in the crosswalk right there. But, you know, I think that's more to do with the road design. There's concern about parking. But, you know, if you put it over near the airport, then people have to have a car to go check their mail.
Right.
And I think that we want to move away from having cars. And I'm looking at post office. Tomorrow is a big mail-in day for sending a postcard to the president.
Oh.
People are sending a postcard to the president saying two or three lines of what they want or they don't want. Because when you send a letter, it might sit there for weeks before it's cleared. When we had the anthrax scare on the letters, it sort of slowed down the ability to send a letter. That was in 2001. Do we have a caller? Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Oh, hello, Felicia. This is Adam calling. Thank
Hi,
you
Adam.
For the show.
Hi.
Hey, hi. So, you know, normally I just really kind of agree and support with your perspective, but I just couldn't let the show end kind of hanging on what just seems like a contrived, gratuitous support of KIUC.
Okay, please. Go ahead and say it.
You know, honestly, and you know that I've dealt with them directly and deeply on many issues. Mostly those issues have dealt with water. And honestly, they are treating the water on Kauai no different than the big oil companies are treating the water at Standing Rock.
I'll give you that.
It as theirs. They criminalize people that go up, and we don't know who did it, but it is highly likely that those people went up as part of religious or indigenous rights issues. The same thing that the people at Standing Rock are fighting over.
I want to be very clear. I don't know who did it. Okay.
Neither do I. But it is. I mean, it is highly likely that was part of the reason. And for them, it is the height of arrogance for them to even suggest that what happened had anything to do with the utility. It has everything to do with the water.
Right. So let me.
I see no difference in how our cooperative is treating our natural resources than the big oil companies who's treating natural resources in Standing Rock. I don't see any difference.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You know more than I do on this. When I look at what I'm understanding with the river and the redirection of that water got redirected after a big flood, I believe, in maybe 1995. Is that correct?
According to what we can piece together, that's probably after the Anahola flood.
Yeah, after the Anahola flood, and four people had died then, and they put that concrete piece in. So that was before KIUC actually existed as a cooperative. I'm not excusing it, and I'm not making any of that right. So when I said I like the power company, what I like about the power company, and then I'm going to get to the water issue, why I say I think the power company is doing a pretty good job is that they're effectively delivering power, even with one transmission line up to the North Shore. It doesn't seem like we have terrible accidents or people die. We do have occasional brownouts or power interruptions. I saw a whole pole got knocked out in Hanama'olu this past weekend. Things happen, but the part of producing energy and working towards making recyclable energy, that's what I'm applauding. And then the
I will applaud the people in the trucks that go out in the middle of the night in the pouring rain and keep that power going and turn it on. But the people that run the show, I don't think they're any different than any of the board people in a big oil company.
So help me
That's been my personal experience.
Okay, so let's explore that for a moment. And I'm not arguing with you. What I'm looking at, when I sort of see relative to the water in the North Fork of the Wailua River, is that water's going over to KIUC, then it's kind of going back to the river, then it's going back to the Kapaya Reservoir, and that's really Grove Farm is the true beneficiary there. And when they say it's non-consumptive, well, it is consumptive, but it's sort of there's a sleight of hand going on, because consumptive means that the water goes back, but the water goes back and then it goes back again. It gets taken again. But it seems to me like there's two players in that. There's the player of the power company, but more than that, it is Grove Farm. Am I wrong?
Well, it is. So you're not wrong. It is that water is sliced and diced and sold like a hog carcass at a butcher.
Okay.
Everybody makes money on every time they touch that water until it's flushed down toilets in Grove Farm development, and people pay Grove Farm. They also operate sewage treatments, or did until somebody bought it. So people pay to have it delivered, and people pay to have it flushed away.
Yes.
And that is consumptive, and that is commercial.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But there is also, in addition to those people on the board of KIUC and the people calling the shots and the staff, they are Siamese twins to Grove Farm in the county. There's no difference. They are all seeking the same thing. And that is to keep the water flowing. To keep the gears running, to keep the permits happening, and keep the development going.
So
no one has stepped up to demonstrate anything different. Every argument has been to the contrary.
So can I ask you another question? I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it's probably you're closer to the issue, especially as a Kalo farmer. You're a lot more deeply involved with it. When I look at it, when I'm just sort of standing back from my bird's eye view, when I look at what the county's doing and all these different elements, is that there's so many voices calling for attention. There's not enough housing. There's not this. There's not this. People need senior housing. They need something. They need something. They need something. And so they're all real concerns, and everybody's so busy, it's just easy to take all the water. And then they don't have to think about it, right? They just go, okay, we got it. We got the potential. We're holding it in case of the potential. And I'm just not sure if I'm experiencing evil intention. I might not agree with the decisions, but I'm not sure if it's evil.
Well, evil is, I mean, I would personally, I reserve the evil term evil to kind of, you know, personal hurt. But I think there's, another term out there that's probably, equivalent at the social and cultural and environmental scale, which is what's happening.
Okay.
They're engineering.
Yes.
Our community.
Yes.
And attempting to re-engineer Hawaiian cultural beliefs, and even ecological beliefs. You know, I've seen reports from paid biologists who have argued that because the streams are so degraded, the ditches should now be considered our natural aquatic waterways, and they should be preserved at all sake.
Okay.
So this is the extent that they're the length that they're going to preserve the capture of that water.
Okay, I'm gonna say that I support that observation, and that that problem doesn't just stop with the energy company. It is energy cooperative. It's pervasive in our whole structure of governance and development, and everything here is it's a pervasive problem, and they share in it. Does that seem
and I
fair?
Would, and again, I don't want to. I'm a little bit sensitive about the use of the term evil, because as individuals, most of those people in those organizations are good people, right?
Right.
But the danger comes, and we see this repeatedly in history, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you set aside your personal beliefs, right, to do blindly
right.
do the job that you are given,
yes.
regardless of who gets hurt. That is actually how evil is manifest at the societal level. I mean, we're not talking about serial killers here, but we are talking about people who will do their job because it's their job, and they don't care or can somehow sleep with the burden of the people who are hurt, not bodily injured, but are hurt in many other
That's
ways.
That's right, right. And Adam, I have another caller holding before the end of the
yep.
show with Jazz with
yep.
John. I need to have you in here again. You're very articulate,
yep.
and we aren't so far apart on that. So I apologize for having you feel that I'm have slighted what you have shared, because you have come in and shared
no.
that concern. I just the concern that you're applying, I see that in so many many areas. So yes,
yeah.
but
and I appreciate when I flipped the switch, I got power, but that's a low ball as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Yep.
Caller, thank you for holding. We're just about to go to the county council report. And Jazz with John, you have about 45 seconds to a minute.
Oh, I know 45 seconds in radio. Hey, I agree with Adam on many levels, and I just wanted to chime in. I'm sorry I wasn't able to go to the Planning Commission meeting about the county plan this morning, but at the last one of the only recommendations in that plan was to take the water from where Adam is talking about and move it over to Hanamaulu. So, you know, other than that, there's no direction in that plan.
So,
it's like, here's everybody's stuff laid out on the table. Here's all the concerns.
I have something important to throw in there, Lynn, before we go okay. off the air. Please go to plankauai.com, where you can see the plan revisions. Adam, do the same, because there was a change in this last revision on the water, and the development aspects of it seemed all those things got deleted, best I could tell. So there was a significant change, and you guys need to look at it, because I tried to look at it.
So
go look at it.
Before you go, real quick.
I don't have time.
I hope that they included the plans for PMRF, because they were not in there before. And also,
I didn't see
a map of Niihau. It's in the county.
Right. Okay, so that needs to be
okay.
in there. Please send that to the planning department. Okay, but do it again. And the 28th, they'll have another meeting. So mahalo.
Okay, thank you, Felicia.
Aloha. Okay, Jazz with John is up next. We've got a very short county council report, but there is a council meeting tomorrow, and I am going. Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you, Felicia. Aloha.
Aloha.